Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad had a lifelong passion for sharing the truth of God's Word and pointing people to Jesus. Through the ongoing ministry of the Christian Worship Hour, his messages continue to bless and encourage listeners. Thank you to so many of you who take the time to write and share how these broadcasts have touched your lives. Here are a few we have received recently. An online comment reads, "My family and I are extremely grateful for the ministry of CWH and the work Pastor Salem has done. It is a blessing to hear the gospel message each week." And another said, "Your father continues to be an inspiration for us to seek and become closer to Jesus. Thank you for presenting his services." A friend from our state of South Dakota wrote, "Thank you from the bottom of my heart for continuing Pastor Salem's messages. Many of my family have come to faith listening to the truth, pure and simple." Today, my dad brings a message of encouragement and assurance titled, "When You Pass Through the Water." May it remind you that even in life's most difficult seasons, the Lord is with you and will faithfully carry you through. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just all so happy when we can come and gather together all over the world, worshiping the Lord Jesus. And maybe you don't know the Lord, but you just kind of like to hear words, God's word, because it's beautiful and it's powerful and it speaks to your heart. And so you want to know more, and then you can listen in and you can maybe open your heart to the Lord. And then if you do that, we'll send you some literature, free and postpaid, get you started on the Christian life. Well, today we're going to be talking about when it go through how the deep waters and the fires and the floods and how God goes with us and helps us. And so maybe if you have a friend that you know is a little bit down, maybe a little bit discouraged, maybe some hard things have come into their life, just give them a ring and tell them to tune us in. And I think you might get a little help because they're using the Bible. And using the Bible, you always get help. Well, we're looking at Psalm 84, verses 9 to 12. "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed be the man that trusteth in thee." Heavenly Father, we trust in you. We love you. Believe you. We believe you in the word you've given us. And we pray that everyone that's watching us today and listening today will open their heart to you if they've never done so. And they will get joy and happiness and help and strength. Dear Lord, it'll all come in knowing you personally. This is your service, Lord, and we just ask you to use it and take it and use it to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jan is going to sing for us, "God Leads Us Along," and God bless you, Jan.
Feet.
you, Jan. And that's the story of the Christian's life, the fires and the floods. And God says, when you come to the rivers and they overflow and you have the floods and you have the fires, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And there's a reason and a purpose behind it all. So if you're having a little trouble today, maybe things aren't breaking right and you just think everything's so bad. I had one little boy tell me in Sunday school or in school, and he says, I just had the worst day of my life. He says, five things happened to him, and he had five things. And so maybe you just got one, but you'll find blessings in this service today because we're using the Bible. God's talking to us. I'm not talking to you. It's God's word. That's what we're using. But before we do that, I want to read some of the letters. Always have the letters, and I hope you'll write to us. But the first letter we get today is from Overland Park, Kansas. And they said, I'm so pleased to watch and listen to you each Sunday. You uplift me each time. I am encouraged by your words and your preaching of God's word. Jesus is my Savior since I was 18. I'm 68 now, a retired master carpenter. I love my career of helping people. And then he says, and here's a bit of laughter. What kind of lights did Noah use on the ark? Answer, floodlights. Wouldn't you know that, I'm telling you. Well, that's great. I remember I had a little Sunday school boy ask me one time if I was on Noah's ark. And I said, well, no, I wasn't. I'm sorry. He says, well, then how come you didn't drown? He couldn't figure that out. He's trying to figure that out. Well, God bless him. And so that's the way you learn. You ask questions. Here's St. Cloud, Minnesota. Thank you, Pastor, for teaching the word of the Lord. I try to catch you every Sunday morning. I've strayed away from God and sinned along the way several months, but I'm now getting back on track. Thank you. And so that's one part of our ministry, to help them to get back on track. It's easy to drift. You know, it starts out so slight, you don't hardly notice it. And then it gets a little more and a little more until you're way off. And that's part of the gospel. That's why we preach. That's part of the gospel. That's part of God, that if you drifted away, you're his child. You drifted away, he wants you to come back home. And Jesus told a wonderful parable to show his attitude toward people who drift away. Talks about his son, his own son. And the prodigal son, you know the story. And he wanted his inheritance right now. Didn't want to wait till dad died. He wanted his money right now. So he gave him his money. And, you know, he squandered it away. He had a lot of friends as long as he had money. Didn't have money, didn't have any friends. Oh, yes, he did. He had the pigs. He worked taking care of pigs, a poor thing. And one day he came to his senses. And he says, I know my servants have, God, my dad has servants that live better than I do. I'm going to see if dad will forgive me. I don't know if he will, but I'm going to go back. And what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that the father, while the boy was a long ways off, the father saw him. His father was sitting on that front porch all the time that boy's been gone. He's looking for his boy to come back home. And now here he's coming. And when he met him, he didn't say, well, you sure made a mess of your life. And you smell like a pig going cleaned up. And let's see what we can do. No, he grabbed that boy and he hugged him and he kissed him and he smelled like a pig. And he hugged him and he took him back. His son came back and he had to kill the fatted calf and had a celebration. That's a picture of God. If we drift away from the Lord, you can come back. He wants you to come back. Just turn from your sins. See, get out of the pig pen, get back with the Father and live with the Father. Oh, that's the beautiful thing of the gospel. No one has drifted too far. And once it's death, after death, I can't help you a bit. But now, whatever you've done, you just come back. Here's Bellingham, Washington. I took the film of your life to a retirement center. There was a number of tears on the cheeks of some women. They are all older and no one said anything. But I could tell they were moved. I'm sure some were Christians and some perhaps not, but it did have an effect. I know it did for me. God bless you. So here's a lady, and she took the film of A Heart of a Shepherd and took it to a retirement home, and it brought tears to the eyes of people. And in this film, it tells you how to accept Jesus. It doesn't tell you you ought to accept Jesus. It tells us that, but it tells you how. And it's so simple that a child can do it. And you just simply pray and say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, not my head. Forget your head now. That head business doesn't do a bit of good to your heart, your soul. I ask you to come into my heart." And that's what God says. "I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice, I'll come in. I'll come in." And you have to open the door and he'll come in. And so you just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I just ask you to forgive me. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. I'll follow you and thank you, Jesus." See, that's it. Now, you'll never live a perfect life. Only one lived a perfect life, Jesus. But when you sin along the way after you're saved, and once you're saved forever. You'll never lose your salvation, but you might lose your fellowship if you have sin. So you ask Jesus to forgive you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just, "Jesus, forgive me, and I'll serve you the best I can." And then you say, "Well, how many times can you do that?" "Oh, maybe a million times." You see, God says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace is greater than all of our sins. And never, no matter how many times you fail, if you go back, he'll forgive you and he'll help you. And maybe in our service today, there'll be people coming, and wouldn't that be nice? Well, let's see here. Now, see, that's a sermon that you don't even pay for that. The pay ones come a little later. I'll tell you about that. Here's San Leandro, California. "Thank you for the Christian Worship Hour. Bless your ministry. Thanks for saying such nice things about Jesus and helping others. For 75 years, I've been telling about Jesus. I never get tired. He is so beautiful. And he is so wonderful, and he is so real when you get to know him and you walk with him. And I've said it so many times, if you don't love Jesus, my friend, it's because you don't know him. To know him is to love him. You can't help it." And so that's what we do, say nice things about Jesus. That's all there is I can say, is nice things about Jesus. Mitchell, South Dakota, good old South Dakota. "I'd like to thank you for your many years of ministry. My wonderful wife of 60 years died in November, leaving me a very lonely person. I'm trying to trust God for his help. God bless you in your service to him." Well, I know what this dear brother's talking about. 60 years, Buell and I had 59 and a half years. And it's a sad day when they go. But I know I'm going to see her again, and this man's going to see her again. And I know that because she accepted Jesus. Now, if you didn't accept Jesus, you have no hope. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The way to heaven and the way to God is a person, Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you're in for big trouble, Buster. And you need to turn to Jesus and ask him to come into your life, come into your heart, save you. Indianola, Iowa. "I too am in my 90s. I'm 94. And I try to remember this. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose." Now that is a good one. And people in advanced ages, if you got a pulse, you got a purpose. There's a reason you got a pulse. God's got something for you to do, so get out and do it. And don't feel sorry for yourself. You say, "Well, I can't get out. I'm in a chair. I can't get out. I'm in a bed." Well, witness to everybody comes near you. Tell them how wonderful Jesus is. Don't tell him how your back aches and that God's letting you down. Just grit your teeth and just say, "I love Jesus. And he loves me, and there's a purpose for." And we're going to talk about, why do we have all these fires and floods and all these things that we go through? Why do they happen? We're going to look and see reasons for reasons that they happen. But always witness. If you got a pulse, witness for the Lord. Boise, Idaho. Your straight to the point preaching and teaching makes it easy for us to understand the word of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, and may God put an extra blessing on you and your ministry. And, well, you know my preaching. I preach so that the children understand. And if the children understand, everybody can understand. We have people that haven't been to school. They didn't graduate from school. Maybe they had to go to work right away. I know in the Depression years, in the 30s, not hardly any of us went through high school because we had to go and work. We had to try to make a living, hold things together. And we worked our heads off and we lost our farm. But we didn't lose the Lord. Still got the Lord, see? And so you just rejoice in the Lord and know all things work together. I'm going to use that in the sermon, so I don't want to preach it twice. One more, Minnetonka, Minnesota. I am a young woman in Minneapolis, Minnesota, recuperating from 3 knee surgeries due to a skiing accident. I am unable to sit comfortably for an hour at a church service, so I am very thankful to be able to tune in now as I recover. My grandma, who is now in heaven, used to watch your program regularly when she couldn't make it to church, and she introduced me to it. Her faith continued to inspire me beyond her life. I thank you for your services and wish you continued good health. And when I read that, I just thank God for these grandmothers. They're always telling about Jesus. I don't know where these grandpas are. And I know some of them are because I said something like that, and a man was very upset because his dad was a wonderful Christian. So I know there are some wonderful Christian grandpas, but we're always reading about these grandmas. And they're always talking about Jesus, and they're always loving these little kids. And they know that from there, they know grandma loves them, and she loves Jesus. If she loves Jesus, I want to love Jesus. I want to be like my grandma. And here grandma's gone. But here she is. This granddaughter knows Jesus, living for Jesus, going through some hard times, but loving Jesus. And so we just rejoice. Thank you all for these letters. And I hope some more of you will write. And you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have we have a little Bible study called The New Song. New Song. It's free and postpaid. We really should charge a subscription price for it. But we're just such nice people, we just don't do it. And so you just write, and it's free and postpaid. And it's called The New Song. And it's a little Bible study this month. We're going to talk about the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord upon us. Not in a bad way, but in a loving way, in a kind way. And it gives us courage. And I know you're going to like it. And then if you want to get that film, The Heart of a Shepherd, and maybe you know somebody doesn't know the Lord, and it's hard to witness, you don't know what to say, well, then what you do, my dear friends, is just say, I want to give you a gift here. And just watch this. And we had one man who they'd witnessed to over and over and over. And they gave him this film, and they left him alone with it, and he watched it. And it told him how to accept Jesus. And after many, many years, he turned to Jesus. And after watching that film, he says, I'm going to be with my sister in heaven now, I know. And so you can just give that to people and let them. And then maybe they'll ask questions, maybe they won't. But they could very well come to Jesus just watching that film. And then we have to have your gifts. And if you want, you can send a gift on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And from any part of the world, you can send a gift and we'll get it in American money. I don't know how they do it, but I'm sure glad they do it. And just think of this. You ask now, dear Lord, what about this ministry, this Christian Worship Hour? Are they true to the word? Should I support them? And if he says no, give it somewhere else. Do as he says. If he says yes, you ought to support him. You ought to help him. Then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota. And you can don't need to worry about how we spend it, because we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year, and they're with a fine-tooth comb. And we have to receipt everything, a receipt for everything we get, and we have to show for everything we spend. And it's got to balance out, and it always does. And we come through with flying colors. So we're going to be putting the money in the gospel message. And that's the best investment you could ever make. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God leads on you, lays it on your heart. And everything will be fine. Dear Lord, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Isaiah 43, chapter 43. And then in the prayer, we're going to pray for Indonesia. We always pray for the persecuted church. And each week, we pray for a different part of the world, for the persecuted church. So Isaiah writes, beginning with the first verse, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you're such a great God. And here you're talking about bringing the children of Israel back to the promised land in those last days. But you've told us all about going through the floods and through the fires. And what you promised them, you're promising all of your people that you will never leave us or forsake us. That no matter what we have to face, we never face it alone. You're with us. And we're not going to succumb to these troubles, these trials and troubles. We're going to be victorious over them because you are the great God and there's no one greater than you. And you're not going to let your children fail. There may be hard times in this life. It's just part of living. You told us in this world you're going to have tribulation. But you said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And you're going to have the last word. You're on the throne. You're going to have the last word. So we just thank you that you're such a great God. And dear Heavenly Father, we are praying for the dear people, brothers and sisters in Indonesia. And I know some of them, Lord, they're having a hard time of it. And they just don't know which way to turn except to turn to you. But that's all they need is you, and you will help them through. You will never leave them or forsake them. You'll see them through the hardest times, and that there is a purpose and a reason for these things to happen. And so let us all take heart, and our brothers and sisters in Indonesia, help them to know that we love them and we pray for them. And they are an encouragement to us. We look to them, Lord, and thank God for them because they make us stronger. And someday they're going to receive a martyr's crown. We won't get that, Lord, if we haven't suffered for you. They're going to have a martyr's crown. You're going to glorify them. They're going to rejoice in your presence. And we'll get to see them and talk to them. So this service, Lord, speak to your people. And to those who don't know you, help them to become your people through faith in Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to sing for us, "We Fall Down," and God bless you, Hank.
Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the land. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy. Is the land.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Hank. And we have to say amen to that, because it's a great joy to just throw ourselves at Jesus' feet. And holy, holy, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can always count on Him, and you can count on what He says. And when He gives us the Bible, He tells us that heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. So it's a great pleasure. We bow in the presence of Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Well, we're going to look at something today that's really wonderful too, because when we come to the Bible, there are many truths, and they're all so wonderful, but I don't think there's any truth that's any better that tells us that Jesus, that God never takes His eyes off of us. He watches us continually, and we're never out of His care, ever watching over us and caring for us. When we become a child of God, we have the assurance that wherever we travel and wherever we live or wherever we might pass through, that the eye of the Almighty rests upon us, and so that absolutely no evil can befall us, nothing can happen to us but what the Lord allows and provides for. We may, and so we may interpret some events in our life as evil, and in and of themselves, they might be hard things, evil things, but the end result is going to be that they're going to work together for God's glory and for our good. If somehow the Holy Spirit could just impress upon us that fact that God is in charge, God is in control, and we know that the Satan has a lot of power, but he has nothing that takes place of God's great power. And that great love of God, He loves the lost world. If you don't know God, if you haven't accepted Jesus, maybe you've taken His name in vain, maybe you could care less. He loves you. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be rid of your sins and on your way to heaven. Because if you die in your sins, you cannot be where Jesus is. But he that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And so the moment you die, dear friends, it's all settled. It says, after death, the judgment. And the moment we die, we're in heaven or we're in hell. And that's all there is to it. And I'm going to tell you something else. You decide where you're going to be. Now you're hearing the message. You know the way. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you ask Jesus to come into your heart and you're going to heaven. But you don't need Jesus. You're going some other way. Maybe you're going to do works or maybe something else. Well, if you're going to do that, let me tell you, friend, you're going to be in the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He says in John 5:24, he tells us that, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You hear his word, the Bible, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him into your heart, you have everlasting life. And then that's not the end of the verse. Then Jesus goes on and he says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life, eternal life in heaven. And so if you would just believe that and trust that, and so God loves the whole world, but he loves the people that trust him the most. The children of God, he loves the most. And that's what Paul tells us in Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, much more being to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so he loves us all while we're his enemies. And you curse God and you take his name in vain and you're his enemy. And then, but he loves you and he wants you to be saved. But if you accept Jesus, he loves you with a special love. The children of God have a special love. And so keep in mind, child of God, that the Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love. His eyes are always upon you. And during this wilderness journey and this travel through this world below, his eye is watching and he's watching over us and keeping his eye on us and helping us along the way. Don't ever wonder about the events in your life if they seem hard and if they seem cruel. Don't ever question it because God is in control. And God tells us in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know there's a lot of things we don't know, but there's some things we do know. And God says you can know this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to them are called according to his purpose. We may not understand the events of life. We can know this truth, though, that all things work together for good for the child of God. So God gives his word that he ever loves us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be faithful to us. Lean on him, trust in him. And so we come to this wonderful promise. Listen to Isaiah in Isaiah 43. He says, fear not, God is saying, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, there thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. What a promise that is. Read it over again several times, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. See how it speaks to the troubled soul. See the comfort that it brings to the people that are hurting. See that the assurance that it gives us to those that are doubting and may not be sure. Praise God for his word. And we know that God is telling us, along with all his wonderful promises, he in the same breath he is saying, there will be deep waters in every Christian's life. There will be great troubles in everyone who's following the Lord. There will be fires that burn and that hurt us. Yes, indeed, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're going to suffer in this world. But notice, God is also saying, in the midst of the suffering and sorrow, God's power is sufficient. So he's sufficient. He says, the rivers will never drown us. The fires will never consume us. And as we thank God, we just thank God and praise God for that. And so David alludes to these trials when he tells us, and he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Usually we don't like to be led. We want to go in our own stubborn way. We want to be the quarterback. We want to be the one that calls the plays. But God says, I want to lead you, and I'm going to lead you if you'll just obey me and follow him. And if you walk above with him, me and follow me, well then, there's going to be success, and it all in the end is going to come out right. So let's look at some of these things. First of all, God has a reason for leading us through the fire and the flood. Things don't happen. There's a purpose. There's a reason behind it all. Every move that this world makes, God knows all about it. And all of these troubles and trials we're going to have, he knows all about us. And he leads us in the correct paths, so we'll bring honor to his name. We carry his name, you know, Christian, Christ. Christians are called Christians. Christ and Christians. And is Christ, I-A-N. And that means in Christ. And without Christ, I am nothing. It's all Jesus Christ. And give your life to him. Never forget that Paul instructs us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God would beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. So we're his representatives. We represent Christ in this alien, Christ in this terrible, hard world. We represent Christ before men and women. He's counting us to represent him and to let people know who the Savior is and know about the Savior. And he leads us so that we will be happier. The world is not happy. That's why they're getting drunk and they're running and doing everything under the sun. They're not happy. And you'll never be happy until you have Jesus, because he made us for a compartment for God. And you will never have that compartment filled until you accept Jesus Christ and ask him into your heart. And there's a part missing if you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted Jesus. There's a part missing, and the worlding doesn't know what real happiness is. But we find great happiness because once we're saved, we can see, oh, once there was a time that I thought having a party was a good thing, and there was going my wayward way, and I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. So I didn't have much time to get into a lot of trouble that way because I found joy in Jesus. And I remember when I was 10 years old, we had evangelistic meetings in a country schoolhouse. And the pastor came there, and he was an evangelist for the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. And he preached to us in that little country school. And I remember what he preached about. He preached about this Good Samaritan and how that he was beaten up and he was left to die. And he was all bloody and his clothes were all dirty. And a Good Samaritan came, and Jesus is that Good Samaritan. And he cleansed him and he made him pure and made him strong. And he gave him new clothes to wear. And so that's what God is talking about here. Mark it down with life. Without Jesus, life is a shadow. It's empty. It's vain. But with Jesus Christ and with that new creation he gives us, we have real happiness and joy. And I remember I accepted the Lord 10 years old. And I remember the next day I thought, oh, I'm so happy my sins are gone. I didn't see any voices and I didn't hear any bells and see any lights. I just knew that he says, if the evangelist said, now you pray this prayer after me, the one I just gave you. He says, you tell Jesus you're sorry for your sins. And you ask him to come into your heart. That's what I did. And then you tell him you'll follow him. You'll make him the Lord of your life. And that's what I did. And I had eternal life. And I didn't hear voices or anything like that and tongues and all the rest of it. But I just knew. I knew I was saved and I had Jesus. And I've had him now for all these years, almost 90 years. This dear Jesus been with me, helping me. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And so he leads me to make us more useful to him. We are here for God's glory. And people say, well, why was I born? Well, you weren't born here just to serve yourself and have your own little kingdom, make your own money and have your own pleasures. You were here, we are here to honor God and to serve God and to bring glory to God's name. That's what we're here for. And so this wonderful, wonderful Jesus tells us, you just put your faith in me and you live for me. And then you're going to come to this troubles and trials, but that's all right. I'll be with you. He leads us through life and he directs us in the paths of righteousness. And there are tests and trials placed upon us, but the river is there, turbid and deep. The fire will be there, consuming and frightening, but God will see us through every time. So let's look at some of these things that we face. Sometimes we are placed in the fire, life of in the fire, so as to strengthen our love for Jesus. Jesus is very interested in how we love him. It's all important. When people really love Jesus and love one another, they will love one another. They're always anxious to know that love is there. Love, and love is growing. And God is a lover. And he loved us and he died, gave his son for us. But I'm going to tell you something. Love can fade away. It can happen in a marriage. I see the young couple and they're so happy and so much in love, but he gets busy and she gets busy and they drift, and that love has to grow. You know, just because she's married you doesn't mean she's going to love you 30 years later. In between, you don't take anything for granted, and you show your love and you show your love and you have that love. And that's the way it is for God. And God, so husband to love their wives and to love your children, and children love their parents. This love, this wonderful love, makes all the difference. And so when we go through the fires and tests, maybe it's God is saying, you're drifting away from me. You don't have that first love, that Laodicean church. They were lukewarm. They didn't have that love. They were lukewarm. And Jesus says, God says, because you're neither hot nor warm, I spew you out of my mouth. I don't have any part for you, any place to play for you to work. I'm considered in your love. And that's what he's getting as we go through the test, so we'll love him more. And sometimes we're put in the fire and the test to test our obedience. Are we obeying God? God puts us in the fire to see if we really mean what we say when we pray, "Thy will be done." So Daniel went into the fires one day to prove his obedience. And Daniel spoke openly of his love for the Lord. And God says, "Very well, you'll be given your opportunity to prove it." And because you remember, there, as you're supposed to worship this big idol, not to pray to anyone. And Daniel prayed, and he prayed with a window wide open, because that's the way he always prayed, facing Jerusalem. And when they saw it, they go, "You're going to be cast into a lion's den." And so, and that's what they says. So if you pray to anybody else, you're going to be cast into a lion's den. And is obedience, is Samuel, and is Daniel obedient? Yes, he is. The next day he was at his window praying. And so into the lion's den they put him. And the lion's den had the wildest, meanest, bloodiest lions in the world. And they starved them before they put a man in there, put a person in there, so they would be crazy to eat them. And they're going to put Daniel in there. So Daniel is thrown in there because he is faithful to God. He's obedient to God. And I can see Daniel's throwing there, landing right smack on top of some shaggy monster of a man-eater. And I can look at it, see him looking at Daniel like he, maybe like a standing rib roast, you might say. And they're going to be his meal. I can see them licking their chops. It scares me to talk about it. But do you know what? Do you know what happened? God did a double whammy on those lions. And he gave them lockjaw and paralysis of the paw. And they couldn't even scratch the fleas on their back. They couldn't touch Daniel. And there he is in the lion's den. He's through in the waters and the fire. He comes forth as pure gold. And in Proverbs 17:3, we're saying, "Silver and gold are purified by fire, but God purifies the hearts." So God puts us in the fire to refine us and purify us and make us stronger and to show if we really mean business when the test is down. Or look at the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they refused to bow down to the king, an old statue of the king, and worship a king. They worship the King of Kings. They worship God Almighty, and they're not going to worship some statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're all bowed, all told to bow down before this idol, and they refuse. And listen, this is what they say. Daniel 3, verse 17 and 18. They say to him, they say, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." You can burn us up if you want to, but we're not going to worship a false god. You see the fire, but God protected them. And when they came out of the fire, it says they didn't even smell from the smoke. That's how God does it. But they proved their love and their obedience to God. And then with the fire may rage about us to test our faith, how our faith ebbs and flows. And maybe one, sometimes our faith is strong and sometimes it's weak. And so our weak is our faith is like a muscle. You have to use it. You have to put that faith to use. And that makes us stronger. And the more we trust, the stronger we get. On and on. And so God tested, for instance, he just tested Noah when he called him to build a monstrosity of an ark. And I want you to notice this too. There was not so much as a puddle of water out in his backyard where he's going to build this big ark. As a matter of fact, the scriptures, there's nothing in the Bible to read that there was any rain until the ark came. It was by a heavy dew at night. They watered the face of the earth, but there's no mention of rain. So here he is, and God tells him, "I want you to build this ark, and here's the plan." And Noah, they laugh at him. "What are you doing, Noah?" They couldn't dream of a lake. They couldn't dream of a flood, and they laughed at him and made fun of him. But Noah built the ark. Noah's faith was true, and he proved his truth by living for God and building the ark and saving his family and saving humanity. And then sometimes God allows a fire to gather us around us so as to teach us patience. Patience. Paul is a good example of this. He was in prison, but he loved and trusted Jesus just the same. From his prison, he wrote many wonderful letters and taught about the Bible and taught about God. I know some of you today worship with us, and maybe you're in bed, maybe you're in a wheelchair, maybe you're confined, maybe you can't do much, but you can shine for Jesus no matter where you are. And so this, just be patient and lean on the Lord and give him time to do his work and do his will. When the trials of life sweep over your soul like a raging flood, remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Trials are a part of our life, for the good and the evil alike. But the believers know that the real wonderful thing, the trials are coming, but when that's all done, they're going to shine like diamonds in the dark. They're going to be like pure, beautiful gold because they're faithful to God. And finally, in God's fire, we are always find true humility. How proud we are in the flesh, proud of just anything, proud of our looks even if we're not good looking. Proud of a man, if you got $10, he's proud of his wealth. I knew a cowboy was proud of his bow legs. He had bow legs and he was proud of them. God never uses a person that's proud. Did you know that? They're just like poison to him. And you look your Bible through and you'll never find a person that's proud that God used. They just aren't there. James tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Solomon warns us in Proverbs 26, 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope for a fool than there for him. Proverbs 26, 12. And again, pride is an admin, God just hates a person that's proud. And Hebrews 16, 5, he says that he's going to punish those that are proud. And again, in Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when the fire descends, perhaps God has to deal with you or with me. We're proud of something, and false pride will stand between our soul and our God. There's no place for the proud. It may be God is to humble us, to bring us to our knees and senses. Perhaps he's talking to you right now, and you've never accepted Jesus because you've been too proud. You say, I've done a lot of good works. I've done more good works than bad works, and I'm going to heaven. And God says, not by works of righteousness, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not by works of righteousness, but by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to him, and we have to humbly come to him. And so we're instructed in James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and you'll find you'll come forth as pure gold. But friend, you can't do any of these things unless you have Jesus. You have to have Jesus. And you need to pray, make that prayer, ask Jesus to come into your heart. And if you do, then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want the new song, tell us about that. If you want the film, tell us about that. And if you can, send us a gift. Pray for us and send us a gift, because we have to have your help to carry on. So now I'm going to pray for you and pray, dear Jesus, I just thank you for all of the multitudes that have prayed that prayer right today to come to Jesus, and help them, Lord, that they'll become strong in the Lord and servants of thine. Be with those on beds of sickness, and be with those who are having hard times. Help the young people, Lord, as they have to decide what to do in life, and as they have this awful, dreadful thing of drugs brought into their presence. And the precious children, Lord, they can hurt too. They hurt plenty, and they have no way to turn or to help themselves. Help them to trust you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're thankful we can be with you now. We'll look for you next week. And we want you to know, I've got to tell you this, that God loves you. God loved, so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're doing this labor. It's a labor of love, and it's always our prayer. And we have a prayer team of over 40 people praying that you'll come to Jesus. And Jesus will help you through the hard times of life. And I want you to know I love you. And I love you just the best way I know how. And I want to see you in heaven. I want to shake your hand. I want to see what you looked like and where you worked and where you lived and what you thought and how you came to Jesus. We got a lot of things to do. But so just come to Jesus, your Savior, because we love you. So until next week now, you just trust Jesus. If you're maybe in the fire today, you will be out tomorrow. So God bless you. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.